There. Okay. Boy, I could hear myself really well. I'm sorry you couldn't. I'm very sorry. Okay, let me read to you what it says in my English Standard Version about that rendition of Lord in small capital letters. If you, I covered this in a class, but maybe we're not there, and I'm going to take just 2 minutes of your time to do that. Okay, here's what it says. The exact pronunciation of YHWH is uncertain because the Jewish people considered the personal name of God to be so holy that it should never be spoken aloud. Instead, the reading of the word YHWH, they would normally read the Hebrew word Adonai, Lord. And the ancient translations into Greek, Syriac, and Aramaic also followed suit. When the vowels of the word Adonai are placed with the consonants YHWH, this results in the very familiar word Jehovah that was used in some earlier English Bible translations, I think American Standard. As is common among English translations today, the ESV usually renders the personal name of God, YHWH, with the word Lord printed in small capital letters. And then they go into an exception when it's Lord God. So I just want to point out to you the word Lord here. Then perhaps in the original manuscript would have been the consonants YHWH, which some might pronounce Jehovah. So Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Thank you, Don. And I think my lesson is going to be short today, but whenever I say that, then it gets longer. So I don't know, but I think it's going to be all right. Flying like eagles. I always think of that song, Fly Like an Eagle to the Sea, Let My Spirit Carry Me, and all of that. But that's not what this is about. It's the idea of what God made us to be and who God is and how he's different than the other so-called gods in the world. For example, when we look at people's attitude toward the gods that they considered their idols, and they would have their polytheism, which means they had many. And so in that situation, they were mostly hoping that their gods wouldn't smite them, wouldn't do something destructive or terrible or mean to them, very much the way the Chinese feel about their dragon. They'll tell you that their dragon is not the dragon of the British. It's not a dragon that needs to be slain, but it is a dragon that needs to be befriended and appeased. And this is the way that most people thought about the idols, is that something that you just had to do in order to keep them from taking you out, you know. But our God is different than that. He wants us to know him. We can approach him. We, in fact, have been made in his image. He is one who wants a relationship with us. He is not like the so-called gods of the Greeks and the Romans and many pagan religions throughout the world. He's a God who belongs to us and we belong to him. He's a relationship God. He is a God who created us. He's not something that we could ever create. And we are his divine children. I noticed Ambrose this morning has a tattoo on his arm of a crown. And I said, well, that's cool. That reminds me that you are the child of a king. Amen. And God teaches us how to live up to being his divine children. God teaches us how to be in that role of not those who are cowering and meekly offering some little scrap of something so that our God doesn't smite us, but living up to being the children of God and made in his image. God wants us to know that we are made like him. We are not like the animals, as we discussed in Bible class this morning. God didn't make them with his hands. He breathed them or spoke them into existence, and he did not breathe life into them. He just made them like he did the earth and other things. But for us, he made us with his own hands, and he breathed life into the man. And then life was in the man, and he made a woman from the man. It's different, isn't it, than the way that people think of the gods of the world. God wants us to know that we are made like him, and he gives us everything that we need in this world. And I'm thinking of the words of the Apostle Peter here. He gives us everything that we need in this world and to get to the next world through knowing him. God gives us this life to get it right in. We've got this one life to get it right in. It's wonderful to work with a congregation where we can have so many people that strongly disagree with each other about some things and yet love each other enough to still get along. And that's part of getting it right, part of getting it right. Part of loving each other and loving God and knowing that God is in charge and we are made in his image and we need to try to live up to that. The standard. And God helps us to grow. Not only does he give us everything through knowing him, but he gives us the ability to grow and increase in these things. And you know again where I'm going if you're familiar with the scriptures. I'm heading toward the writings of our Apostle Peter. God helps us to grow into his mature children, and God prepares us to fly home with Jesus when Jesus comes again. When I was doing prison ministry, one of their favorite songs was, "Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly." Well, they loved that part of the song. "Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away." We were locked in by electronic locks at the gate. There were big, wire and Conestoga wire and cameras and every kind of thing. One time I accidentally went in there with my cell phone on my side. You should have seen how quick a corrections officer appeared. But it's not like that. We're not going to fly over some prison wall. We get to fly home with Jesus. Home with Jesus. But I want to tell a story about down on the farm. And down on the farm, there was a farmer who had everything. He had a John Deere tractor, and for those who didn't like John Deere tractors, he had an Alice Chalmers. And for those who didn't like John Deere or Alice Chalmers, he had an International Farm Hall. He had everything a farmer could ever want. He had a lot of property. He had sprinkler systems. He had those cool ones that are on big tractor tires and move around so slowly all day long and make this big semicircle or circle in the ground that you see when you're flying in the airplane. And he had geese and he had ducks and he had chickens and he had cows and he had horses and he had pigs and he had a pig with three prosthetic legs. And then one day into his farm flew a baby eagle. And the baby eagle was disoriented and it was confused and it kind of did a hard landing. And so he went over and brushed it off and held it up and looked at it and just said, "Well, when it grows up, I can eat this." So he tosses it out with the chickens and it pecked around in the yard like the chickens because that's what it learned to do. It always lived among those chickens. It wasn't a chicken, but it lived among those chickens and it learned to peck the ground just like a chicken. So he's thinking, "Yeah, that's going to be bigger than some of these chickens, and it's going to be some good eating." And the little eagle grew and grew, and as far as it knew, it was a chicken, and it was almost full grown. And then somebody burst the farmer's bubble. They said, "You can't eat eagles." And they started quoting to him from Leviticus chapter 11, "These, moreover, you shall detest among the birds. They are abhorrent, not to be eaten. the eagle and the vulture, the buzzard and the kite, and the falcon in its kind, every raven in its kind, and the ostrich and the owl and the seagull and the hawk in its kind, and the little owl and the cormorant and the great owl and the white owl. And the farmer was just livid. He'd had, you know, farmers count grains of grain. You know, they count what they put into those animals because they want to get a return on their money, you know. It's not cheap being a farmer. Well, I can't eat it. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. Then he got to thinking about it, and he got to thinking, you know, maybe I'm not thinking right. Maybe I'm not being fair. Maybe I'm not giving this eagle its due. This eagle, after all, is an eagle. They are quite a majestic creature, and I should just let this eagle be an eagle. So he picked it up in his arms, and he held it up, waited for a breeze, and he kind of lifted it up and down, and he let it go. And the eagle just boom, went down and started picking grain like a chicken again. And he said, well, maybe I wasn't up high enough. And so he took it, got the big old extension ladder. You ever lifted one of those old wooden, every farmer, they're too cheap to buy an aluminum ladder, you know? Have you ever tried to lift one of those wooden extension ladders? Oh. Anyway, he got the wooden extension ladder out, and he puts the foot of it at the edge of the barn, and he kind of lifts it up, climbs it up, poof, boom, pushes it, and pulls it back real quick before it falls on him. And then he starts pushing it up, pushing it up. Finally, he has to get a long stick and push it up the last two rungs. And there it is, leaning against the barn. And he climbs up, eagle under one arm, climbing like a monkey with one hand, gets to the top, and he says, okay, eagle, do your thing. And he throws the eagle down, and the eagle kind of, plunk, and starts eating grain with the chickens again. So the farmer says, look, I think there's only one thing that's going to work for this eagle. So he gets his climbing gear, and he gets his two sons, and they put the eagle in a backpack. They go all the way up to the top of the high mountain. There's even a little snow up there. And they get the eagle out, and they get him untied, and they hold him in their hands, and they wait until they feel an updraft start to come up the mountain. And it's just like Rob and his hang glider, and they get the eagle to spread his wings out, and the two sons hold the wings, and the daddy holds the eagle in the middle, and the wind is just lifting, and his feather, the tips of his wings start to curl up like that. And the next thing you know, the eagle gets a funny look on his face. In all of his life, he's never looked beyond the ground or the grain, and he begins to realize he can see way out there. He can see far into the distance. He can see a reason to fly. He looks out. He sees a lake. He sees the backs of fish. And he says, hey, I just realized I'm an eagle. And he spreads those wings out, and he just soars. And the farmer felt a lot better after that. Never did eat an eagle because somebody told him he shouldn't. But what about us? Are we ever like that eagle? We're just down there picking at the pieces of corn and the pieces of grain, and hate to say it, but sometimes even following the horse around to see if anything didn't digest. And there we are, down on the ground, not acting like eagles at all. David used eagles and lions to speak of speed and strength. 2 Samuel 1:23, Saul and Jonathan, beloved and pleasant in their life, and in their death they were not parted. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. When God was rebuking Job, saying, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you make this? He said, is it by your understanding that the hawk soars, stretching his wings toward the south? Is it at your command that the eagle mounts up and makes his nest on high? On the cliff he dwells and lodges, upon the rocky crag, an inaccessible place. From there he spies out food. His eyes see it from afar. His young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is he. Now that last part's a little bit unpleasant, but the thing about it is, the eagle has enough strength and power and ability to provide for himself and for others too. He can bring up that piece of meat for his little ones to eat. In Isaiah 40, 28 through 31, do you not know, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, creator of the heavens and the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. As long as that eagle had stayed on the ground and only looked 1 foot in front of his face, he never was able to become an eagle. But once he got up and looked around, looked at where he was and who he was and what he was, he could really fly. In 2 Peter 1, 1 through 3, Peter opens his letter. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So we know there is a God by what he has made. We should know there is a God every time we see an eagle. We should know that there is a God every time we see that eagle swoop down and get something that we had no idea was there and carry it back up to a cliff and feed his young. But yet we also know God through his word, so that we know there is a God and we know how to respond to that God. And we have been given those things to teach us, to prepare us to be like our God, to know him, and in doing that, having everything that we can ever need. For by these things he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. The eagle had an eagle's nature, but he didn't know he was an eagle. And there are a lot of human beings in the world today who don't realize that they are made in the image of the divine creator of all things. And sometimes in the church, maybe we forget that we too are divine. We're like Ambrose with his tattoo of a crown, children of a king. By these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. The eagle never became a partaker of being an eagle until he stopped acting like a chicken pecking the ground. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of. What does that mean? Partakers of. To participate in the things of God. To be a representative of God to others. To live up to the standard of being in his image and having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. This morning we talked about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, and how all of these things keep us from being what we ought to be, and how sometimes these things bring us big trouble. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7, now for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are things we'd ought to be praying about, these things that we'd ought to be practicing. It says, for he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. The eagle, when he hatched, was an eagle. Somehow along the line, he forgot that and began to think he was a chicken, and somebody had to teach him that he was an eagle. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. He's given us baptism into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. He's given us an opportunity to repent and change our minds before we're baptized. He's given us everything we need in order to believe in Him so that we would want to repent. And He's given us the evidence and the strength and the knowledge that we are of the divine nature. We are not animals. We are not something without a soul. We are not something that God made without His hands. God made us with His own hands and breathed life into us. 2 Peter 1:12 through 15, therefore I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. In a sense, Peter is also reminding them of the temporary nature of their physical life, as he refers to his own upcoming death. He is reminding us also that each one of us will only have this lifetime to get it right. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. Peter knew that he was going to depart, and he wanted them to not forget that they are of the divine, not of the dust. When did we become divine? We were made of dust. It's when God breathed into us, right? Just like that eagle on the mountainside, at the top, feeling the updraft as the wind rose up the mountainside, like Rob with his hang glider. He opened his wings wider. The thin air filled his lungs. His eyes began to look far into the distance, and he let the wind lift him high above the mountain and the farmer and the farmer's sons and the chickens below. He finally knew who he was. We were not made to peck the earth. Look higher. Look farther. Know God. Take and hold the gift of forgiveness. Resist temptations by knowing Him. Grow in God as His divine child. Keep your eagle eyes on the goal, and someday fly home with Jesus. If you need to respond, we offer you the opportunity as we stand and sing.